I was sitting here last Sunday night during choir practice, and God just began to give me some thoughts. And of course, I pulled out my phone and typed them in the notes. I want to just read just a few verses of Scripture. I'm not going to preach for an hour or anything like that, so please don't leave because you think I am. Just want to share with you some thoughts from the Word of God that line right up with the cantata. And the title is The Work of Baby Jesus. And I thought about this scripture in Luke chapter number 2, where Simeon saw the Lord. And I want to read this to you. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, which was Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Amen. You know, the greatest painting that I've ever seen that was associated with Christmas was called Simeon's Moment. And that's what was written along the bottom as a caption that describes the painting. And in the painting, there was a very old man. It looked like he had lived his entire life. And he was holding up a baby, and he was looking at it. And the expression on the painting was his face. As tears of joy began to well up in the corners of his eyes and to run down his cheeks, because he had seen the promise fulfilled. You see, the baby Jesus in his hands, but Savior in eternity. There's a song, "This is such a strange way to save the world." You know, we don't understand everything. We don't know exactly how God's mind could work or would work. We don't understand everything in creation, but we believe that there is a God. And we believe that he came to earth incarnate, God in the flesh, through the baby, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin to fulfill the scriptures that are written throughout the Bible. You know, if you open your Bible, and I don't have time to read them all to you, but there are multiple scriptures of prophecy in the Old Testament that speak of the birth of Christ, of the things that he would fulfill, the place he would be born, that he would be born of a virgin. And we know that most common one is in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Then you go over to the 9th chapter in the 6th verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, if you could imagine Simeon holding the baby, or even Mary and Joseph, and a lot of what's been talked about in the cantata is about changed by a baby boy. Yeah. And it's one of the songs, and these are the things that stuck out to me, one was the heartbeat of love. You see, the reality of it is that love was personified in Jesus Christ. During the time that Jesus was born upon the earth, the common language there was Greek. The most common word that was used for love during the time was phileo, or Philadelphia, which means a brotherly type of love. But here's what I want you to understand. Brotherly love was not enough. There's another word that we use today called agape. Agape love means to wish well for, or to wish the best for. It's not like another word that's Greek, but it's not even in the Bible. It's called eros, which is a sensual love. What needed to happen in Jesus Christ is there needed to be a kind of love that would come to man, that you would be loved just like you are. And that's what agape love is. And that's something that's demonstrated when a person takes and gives of themselves to care for another in spite of what the other has done or has not done. In other words, it's a kind of love that cannot be earned. It's the kind of love that we don't deserve, but it's the kind of love that God has given us. And because God chose to send His own Son into the world to be born through a virgin, when Simeon held little Jesus, he was holding the heartbeat of love. Now, if you go further in Scripture, in John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus eventually described that to us Himself. He says this. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." You know, if you look at this verse of Scripture and you break it down in the Greek, what you actually find within this verse of Scripture is those two words. You find phileo, but you find agape. And what you see that Jesus is doing, He says, is I want you to love one another, but not the way that you've been accustomed to or used to loving one another, but I want you to love one another the way that I have loved you. Amen. And that heart was in baby Jesus. We also find the face of grace. You see, grace was manifested in Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about what grace is? What is grace? There's an acrostic that we use sometimes to try to describe it, but and you can listen to this, and it gives some understanding. It means God's riches at Christ's expense. But the question, does that really describe grace? I don't think it does. But here's the best way I know to try to describe grace. I think it's personal. Because I believe grace is known by those who need it. You see, when you need grace, you understand what grace is. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that cannot be earned. It's when you get what you don't deserve, and the things that you do deserve, God pardons you from. That's grace. I need grace in my life, and that's why I believe that grace is truly understood by those who need it most, and truly understood by those who receive it. You know, if we look at our lives, and we try sometimes, and we shouldn't, but we compare ourselves among each other, you know, one among another, and you look at my life, or you look at another person's life, and you compare someone to your life, but I want you to understand something. A person that really needs grace understands grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, the greatest gift ever given to man was held in Simeon's hands when he held up baby Jesus. And he was told by the Holy Ghost he wouldn't see death until he saw the Lord's promise fulfilled. All the promises of Scripture, all the promises that God said would come, were fulfilled in Jesus. So you see the heartbeat of love and the face of grace. What about the hands of hope? One thing I like to do when you have a little baby is hold your finger out. You know how a little baby will do this? I like that. Imagine a little baby Jesus maybe holding on first time to his mother's finger. Or maybe when Simeon picked him up and he reached out and held him and he touched his face. Those little hands held lots of hope. Hope for the whole world. But have you ever thought about what Jesus' hands actually did? Those little hands, they began to grow, and they grew into the man that Jesus Christ was to come and to fulfill his ministry. Those little hands were the hands that knelt down and made clay from spittle and put them on the blind man's eyes so that he could go and wash in the pool and be able to see. Those little hands were the hands that wrote in the sand when the woman was thrown at Jesus' feet. And he knelt down and he began to write. You know, those were hands of hope, obviously, for the man who needed to be able to see. They were hands of hope for the woman who had been accused that according to the law, she would be killed. But it was a hand of hope as he wrote. And those that stood there as her accusers dropped their rocks and walked away. This was the same hand that when a leper was there and he had to cry, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would be on the opposite side of the street and pass him by, Jesus walked over to where he was and he didn't speak to him and say, "Be healed," but he touched him with those hands. But I'll tell you something else those hands did. Those hands were stretched out. Hands of hope. And they were pierced and nailed to a cross so that you and I could have life. Amen. You know, in Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 12, the Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And what it says there, what it means when it says when desire cometh, it means when you find hope or peace, it is a tree of life. But hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You see, what baby Jesus has done, he's brought hope. Every time you see a manger scene, you ought to realize that that is the heartbeat of love, that that is the face of grace, that those are the hands of hope. So the question, do you see that hope or receive that hope in Jesus? Where would you get your hope without Jesus? And then the last is the feet of freedom. You know, on our Christmas trees, we've got pictures of the kids when they were little. We've got handprints. We've got the footprints. Don't you just love it when they say, "We're making footprints today at school"? And they put their little feet into the plaster. It's fun, but these Sunday school teachers don't try that a whole lot. You know, if you think about the feet of Jesus, they were the feet of freedom. Now, folks, I want to be free. I want to be at peace. I want to have hope. But not everybody has it. Some people are bound. Now they're walking around, they seem to be free, but they're walking around and they're bound. But what Jesus Christ did is he came to bring freedom to all men. And in Isaiah chapter number 61 and verse 1, it says this, and this is prophetic because if you go over to Luke chapter number 4 and you read the 16th to the 21st verse, you see where Jesus walked into the temple and they handed him the scriptures, he read from this passage. And he said, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." In other words, here's what Jesus did. He come to set the captives free. He come to break the chains of addiction. He come to break the chains of sin. He come to break the chains of darkness. He come to give man life and an opportunity so that you could have life, have it abundantly, and that you could have an eternity with him. That's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, everywhere he walked, he preached and proclaimed the gospel, and he reached out to the people. And I love the scripture over there in the book of Matthew where it said, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. You see, Jesus, baby Jesus, fulfilled the scripture. You know, today, do you need freedom? Because if you need freedom, I know a chain breaker. His name is Jesus Christ. You see, because baby Jesus truly did change everything. There's a Christmas song that says, a baby changes everything. Truly, it changed the life of Mary, just a little girl, a teenage girl with child. And it changed the life of Joseph when the angel came to him and spoke to him and said, here's what I want you to do. God had everything lined up, and God had a plan, but it changed everything. And I want you to understand, it changed the people and the town where Jesus came. And it's still changing things today. Amen. Because everything we read about in the Old Testament, everything we preach about, can still affect a person's life if they'll believe it and receive it. Why? Why did Simeon hold him up and tears flow down his face? And he basically was at the point that he could say, now I can die in peace. Because the promise has been fulfilled and I have seen it. Why? Because the promise of a Savior had come. Because all the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. His name actually means Savior. Because the years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament had been broken. Because the new covenant, which brought grace for all men, had begun. So what should we do? What should we do? And this goes right along with what they sang. Go tell. Go tell. Who have you told about the goodness of the Lord? You know, the reality of it is that is our heart's desire at Hiram First Baptist Church is to be able to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, in red, the last words in this gospel of Jesus, which once was baby Jesus, here's what he said. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what should we do? Go tell. You know, the cantata is fantastic. We're going to honor God now. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to rise to your feet. We're going to have one more song, and our service will be over today. But I believe the story that has been told of what Jesus Christ has done has made a way that all people could be saved, that all chains could be broken, that every man can have peace, that every man can have purpose. But here's what it requires. It requires a personal relationship with a living God. Amen. You know, you can get saved right where you're at. I've known of people getting saved riding down the road. But there's no better place than kneeling in the altar and just doing business with God. Amen. These altars are always open, but they're especially open right now. If you want to come pray anything at all in your heart as they sing this last song, this is your opportunity. Because we want to tell you the story. Y'all know I love to read church signs. One of my favorite ones was simply this. We love to tell the story. The wonderful story of Jesus. So if you'd like to pray, would you please come?
If the ship of your life is tossing on a sea of strife, you need someone. If you feel so all alone and your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights when things just won't turn out right, and you want someone to care and someone to just be there, you pressures all around keep your spirit to the ground. You need someone. And if your body is in pain and your health you can't regain, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights when things just won't turn out right, and you want someone to care and someone to just be there, you need someone. So I give you Jesus.
Hope has hands with the choir again one more time. We'll just do the Change My Baby Boy reprise. That's what we'll do. Thanks.